Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Joe was presented before the Father, and they sought for one who could open the seals, who could break open the seals. And no one in heaven was found worthy. Our holiness is in levels. Even the elders, they tried. The Bible says, and the whole heavens wept. Spirits cried. Angels, archangels. And God was watching them. He could feel their grief. And even the one who was giving the vision, he wept. See, you must trust God to receive the same emotions that God is having on any matter. If not, you will not understand why God is particular about certain things. When the Lord rejected Saul, Samuel was praying. And God said, why are you interceding for him? That was God's position. Don't pray for him again. Do you know there are men that are on earth that can move God's hand by force? Do you know that the... Let me say something now. You may not like it. Do you know that what Samuel said to Saul when he tore his clothes, he said it out of anger. Eh? It just came out. And God just stamped it. It's like God had been looking for somebody to do this work. You see, God just allowed Samuel, the covering he placed over Saul, to move. Later, for you to know, Samuel felt bad. He started praying. God said, no, it's done. That's how weighty some people can be in your life. One of the elders came to John and said, do not weep. Don't weep. He said, for the lion of the tribe of Judah is able to open the seals. Oh my God, hallelujah. Amen. He opened it on the weight and the strength of his blood. Because there are levels in the spirit you can't touch by confessing. You touch it by sacrifice. And the one who laid his blood has been blessed. He has been given a name above every other name. So when he showed up, he was able to open the seals, and the speakings of God began to come forth. Hallelujah. So when he opened the book, he looks at it and said, Busayo, from today you are righteous. Hallelujah. There is no charge against God's elect. Hallelujah. He said, Bara, from today you are fruitful. This is now the speakings of God, because the seals are open. Hallelujah. Give God praise this morning and bless him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please take your seats on this Easter morning. All right. So, I guess today is the day Jesus rose up, right? Yes. Hallelujah. Now, this is actually supposed to be a teaching. So let's look briefly into God's word. I don't know where to start. I have like a zillion scriptures. How would you like to receive the message today? Hot or cold?
Hot.
Okay, you asked for it too. Because some people, I was watching my message last 2 weeks. I didn't like it. Why are you? Your face is only strong. What's your problem? You know, so I told myself today, deliberately, I will smile for the camera. Please, can you zoom in a bit so they can see my... I need them to see. Some people think I'm a sadist. I'm very sadist. So it's just that when I hear something that is not true, I begin to react. You know. All right. Can they see me?
Uh-huh.
So I need to... All right. Foolishness. When you see a man that is perishing, when he hears the message of the cross, what's his response? Foolishness. When you see a person that comes to church but believe that the death of Christ is not enough, what is that? Foolishness. That means that man will not make heaven when he dies. That's the implication. So don't even think about it. Don't Google it. This is the answer. He said the preaching of the cross, if it offends you that Jesus is enough, you are not getting me. If you think you need to do anything, Easter Friday, Easter Sunday, what are those things we do in our old churches? Talk to me. Huh? You know, in your own church, they don't eat meat. We eat meat here. Talk to me. Huh? Palm Sunday. What's Palm Sunday? That's the day people who sell palm trees make money, right? Okay. The scripture says that there is something that can offend the gospel. There are things that we do. When a man, a Christian, doesn't understand what the cross is about, he will replace it with palm frond. He will replace it with Ash Wednesday. He will replace it with not eating meat. That day will look as though it is now more holy because of certain things that we are doing. Excuse me. When Jesus was being killed, he didn't remember which donkey is Satan. When he was being dragged, all he could think of was the pain. Is it good to commemorate? Sure. You may choose. The Bible says if you consider a day holy unto it, it's holy. You may choose not to eat meat, but it's for you. It's okay. As long as... Anyway, it even makes a lot of sense now in Nigeria to eat meat today and skip meat tomorrow so that you have meat on Wednesday. Do you understand? It makes a lot of sense. Some things you may consider holy unto you, but over time, those things have become an offense to the cross. Over time, such that when people think of Easter, what do they think of? Palm front, not eating meat, 40 days fasting. Sober reflection. Your president said we should use this moment as a time for sober reflection. Sir, you are the one that needs the sober reflection. We are suffering. We are in a sober state perpetually. Are you not sober? Can you go out and buy a bottle of good? You can't now because you have followed the money. We are in a state of soberness. It's not that message is for the politicians, not for us. Because if you are not sober, you will miss opportunities. You have to be sober. So there are so many things we do today as Christians that we now associate with certain days. And over time, the real thing loses its meaning. And believe me, this ceremony of this weekend, it is the only event in the Christian world that gives authority to the Christian faith. It has nothing to do with bunnies and all those Easter bunnies you see. Eggs. Somebody is playing a smart one. Did you see Joe Biden's post on Easter?
Yeah.
He announced that Easter Day in America will not be a national transgender something. See? What did Daniel tell you? He said, when you see the... How did he put it? The feast. It went... Oh God. Let me not quote. I will get back to you. But Daniel spoke about the substitution of feasts. When you see things that were considered holy, all of a sudden they are being replaced. And then we are preaching love. You see all this message of love? Love. Let's love one another. Jesus said, if a man does not hate his father and mother and love me, he is not worthy of me. He cannot be. That is the standard. Which means the only way I will be able to look at my mother and turn back on her to follow a Jesus I cannot see is only if Christ has been revealed in my heart. Please pay attention, because the days that are coming, God is going to release his power on the earth again. But God cannot release his power on weak foundation. There are people in their village this period, they do a New Year festival. They will do different things. People always associate ceremonies with what they have lost the power of. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. He said, but unto us, it is what? The power of God. The preaching of the gospel is what? The power of God. If you can grasp this one, you can say to the man that is sick, rise and be healed. You can say to him that is deaf, rise and be healed. You can say to him that is crippled, be healed. You can say to him that is in sin, you are forgiven. Only if you know that it is what? It is what? The preaching, it is only that this preacher of the cross is what? Is power. Power. There's something I've been struggling with. I don't know if I should say it, but if I get tempted, I will say it. And we are going to enter express. So just get ready. If you, this is a good time for you to pray. Because if I say that thing, I will now show you why a lot of people are praying and casting out devils and they are not getting results. But if I'm lucky, I will get there. So when Jesus died, what exactly did he do? Ephesians 2, verse 16. Ephesians 2. Let's start from verse 13 up to 16. Verse 13. All right, look at your screen. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who we are sometimes afar off, are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So when Adam fell from grace, there was a wall that came between us and our maker. There was a dividing wall. Man could not reach God easily, and that's why God had to appoint prophets, priests, to represent us and to bring our cases before God. And one of the beautiful things about redemption is that everybody can now approach God. Hallelujah. I said everybody can now approach God, which means the power of answered prayer is something every Christian should benefit from. Believe me, if you know what it means to pray and see answer, you'll be rich. Just write that one somewhere. All right, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Wait. Which law? Which law? Look at that scripture. The law of commandments contained in what? Yes. What law is he talking about? Pastor Mara, what law is that? The law of ordinance. The law of Moses. What did he do to it? He abolished it. I want you to let that sink. The law was given so that man will know that he cannot please God. That law. You will always struggle with it as long as you think you can serve God in your flesh. You will keep all the laws. There was a man that came to Jesus and Jesus told him, go and fulfill the law. What did the man say? He said, I've done all these things for my youth. And Jesus smiled. Jesus smiled because he was telling the truth, but his revelation was incomplete. And Jesus put him to a test and said, you know what? Go and sell everything you have, then come and follow me. The Bible said the man left sorrowful because what? He had many possessions. So the true test of the law of Moses is love. The man memorized all the commandments and failed in the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is love. You can read the law of Moses and find Christ in it. But if you read the law of Moses and you are not careful, it will become a veil in your eyes, such that no matter what any pastor says, it is that Ash Wednesday and not eating meat you'll be hearing and you'll be seeing. The law of Moses has so many things. You cannot wear two clothes of two different apparel. It has something to say about keeping beards. It has something to say about the kind of attire you wear. Those things they have their moral benefits, and you can practice them for your moral benefit. But as far as your standing with God is concerned, they are no more valid. Because you are going to get into the days where people will try to put a yoke on you and tell you that, oh, because you are not like this, you are not saved. Or because you are not like this, you are not born again. Listen, the law of ordinance has been removed. Do you know that such matters as circumcision, they were a big deal in those days? I heard that Indians don't circumcise. Alright? So, there are countries where they don't really believe in circumcision. But you know, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it was a major issue that Paul had to address it severally. Because some Christians believe that if you are not circumcised, you could not be a Christian. And those are the people that attend Peter's church. You cannot go to the Holy Apostles Church and you are not circumcised. In fact, there was a time Paul was going to see them, and he took his spiritual son along and mandated the boy to be circumcised so that they will not have issues. Can you imagine a grown-up man going through circumcision because of Peter? Yet the Lord had walked away from those things. Paul also had to scrape his head. Those are things that maybe Paul said, I become all things to all men, but that's not even the standard. It's just our own human righteousness. So I want you to differentiate today that which is your own righteousness and that which the Lord considers to be his own righteousness. All any righteousness you accrue to yourself may be good for man, but it will not stand before God. The righteousness that is accepted before God is that which comes by genuine faith in Jesus Christ, that comes by faith in the finished work, that comes by faith in the cross of Christ. It was the same cross on which Jesus hung that man said to him. He said, if you remember, when you get your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today. Come and say today. How many days did he spend in the grave? 3 days. But Jesus said, today. Say, you'll be with me where? In paradise. Jesus was on that cross, but he was able to give life to people that were dying. Today, nobody has been able to lay claim to the body of Jesus Christ. We know where Muhammad died. Buddha has reincarnated. Only God knows what he is now. Maybe he's a fly or a donkey. But somewhere, he has entered Nirvana. Every religion lays claim to some kind of peace. But the strength of the gospel is that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our hope, our faith is in vain. That means the day any scientist produces his body and they confirm it's Jesus, Christianity is over. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think if there was anybody willing to prove that Jesus was a fraud, it would not be the Jews? The Jews don't believe in him. In fact, I believe there are some people who are bent on proving that he's a fraud, but they've not found his body. Because that is what the scripture clearly tells us is the proof of our faith. When a man writes a will and he dies, until he dies, the will does not become effective. It does not come into effect. That means when Jesus, according to Hebrews, and when we come into the second service, I will take us to the book of Hebrews. When Jesus died, the will of God establishing our righteousness as sons came into effect. Then Jesus rose again and sat over his own will to execute it. Usually there's always the need for an executor. Somebody who says, this is what was written, and this is how we are going to follow through. This is what we need to do. But Jesus not only wrote the will, he died to make it effective and rose to what? To establish and effect the things which he himself had done. We say, a body that has prepared for me to do your will, oh God. So you need to understand that the subject of death and resurrection is what Christianity is all about. It cannot be Easter bunny. The devil is a liar. The same way Christmas cannot be about Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a demon. It's a demon. It's a lie of the enemy. It's a lie of the enemy to take our eyes off the one who was born, the king of whom the shepherds and the wise men came and they worshipped. And we gave that honor. We gave that honor to a man wearing red and white, even in the church. What do the children see on Sunday when they come on Christmas Day? Santa Claus. Many of them do not even believe the guy is not real. Some of them believe the guy will bring gifts, and in order to cover Santa Claus' shame, you will quickly go and put one small gift under the Christmas tree. So when they wake up, oh, my Christmas gift, you better tell them this year that Santa is not coming. And save yourself. Use the money to buy chicken and everybody. There's no Santa anywhere. Santa is not of God. But you see, like I did tell you, anywhere the word of God is not properly being taught, people will heap up, because there's no vacuum in the spirit, people will heap up ceremonies to fill the gap. And then you find that over the years, you start struggling to establish the truth because people have believed a lie. The scripture said he has abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both into God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. When Jesus was about to die, he went to the mountain of transfiguration, and while he was praying, Elijah appeared and Moses appeared. Now, have you heard people say that when a person dies, he remains dead until the resurrection? My brethren from the Jehovah Witness, they say when a man dies, and I've heard some people also say it, so I agree. But the only question I have is that when Jesus was praying, which Elijah came? Which Moses came? Moses died now.
Yeah.
Elijah was taken up, but they came. So when you say when people die, they remain in the ground, what exactly are you talking about? Because it's either Jesus is speaking to familiar spirits, or they literally came. Listen to me. Our hope is not only in this world. The day you close your eyes on this earth, people should not, the way people cry, you wonder if they really believe Jesus is real. One lady jumped, said they should allow her jump into the grave with her husband. That he cannot live her life. I said, but you didn't come to the world together. This is even a good opportunity to marry another man. Yes, that's why there's no marriage in heaven. Nobody can claim any man in heaven. And nobody can claim any woman. You want to enjoy her alone, it's a lie. They allowed the woman, she jumped into the moment they pour two shovels, she jumped out herself and took off. She's only expressing her grief. It's not that she wants to die with the man. But if she doesn't do that, you will think she doesn't love the man. You have to be wise. Nobody's dying for anybody. It's only in India film where people jump and take bullets. Today, nobody even... I don't think Indians are still taking bullets for anybody. They are wise now. There's money to be made. The Bible said he might reconcile both unto God. So, Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented what? The prophets. The law and the prophet are the two main aspects of the Old Testament. So when you talk about the Old Covenant, you are talking about the law and the prophet. And Jesus combined these two into one. So the law now has to do with the written word of God, the Logos. The Logos, this Bible in your hands, represents the law. He said, this law I will put in your hearts, and I will write them in your minds. And I will show you that maybe in the second service, so that you can appreciate the fact that there are two layers the word of God must get into for God to be able to claim you. The law must first come into your heart, and then it must flow into your mind. All right, so Jesus, when he died, he united the law and the prophet, and produced one new man. So Jesus is a product of the law and the prophet. That's why he told us, I did not come to take away the law, but to fulfill it. Verse 18 and 19. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. But through him, we both have access by one spirit. Now, what is the access point unto God here? Look at that. What is the access point unto God? We have access by what? Unto who? So when you claim that you are on earth, what is the software that has been installed to give you direct access to God? Who is the CEO of the church today? That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who runs and determines the progress the church is making. Who is the CEO in your life? When every time you say, oh, I was praying and the Lord Jesus said, who did you actually hear? Some people cannot say, Pastor, I was praying and I heard the voice of the Spirit, because they are afraid of it. Because Jesus said, if you speak any evil against the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness. So they prefer to stay with Jesus. Jesus is very nice and patient. This is the Holy Spirit, you know, they play. So more just stay here. Jesus, they get patience. The Holy Spirit is like fire. Even Peter that did not believe, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, he spoke in tongues. That's how powerful he is. But when he goes, he doesn't talk. For your sake, that he doesn't destroy you. He said we have access by the Holy Spirit unto the Father, which means the work of creation, the work of recreation, or the new man in Christ, is to give us access back to our Father. So you are no more bastards. Hallelujah. We are no more bastards. Even if you cannot tell who your real Father is on earth, you have a citizenship that is in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 And that thing must be real in your soul.
Yes, sir.
There are people who are battered and messed up by their own parents. Listen to me, you have another father somewhere.
Hallelujah.
Your name is Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Your name is Emmanuel. You have a father. Hallelujah. In those days in our former church, we used to sing one song. Some of you may know the song, but if you don't, you will learn it. You know? I have a father. Almighty Father, He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I have a Father. Hallelujah. I have a Father. Almighty Father, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a Father. One more time, come on. I have a Father. Almighty Father, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I have a Father.
19th verse. Now you are no more strangers and foreigners. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may not know what that means. Let me explain to you. Keep that scripture up. When Adam sinned and fell from the grace of God, he became a stranger to the presence of God. In fact, the situation was so bad that God had to send him out of the garden and put cherubims to watch over what? The tree of life, to protect the garden. Adam lost access to something he was given freely. He became a stranger. But there was somebody that took what Adam had and made use of it. His name is Lucifer. And Lucifer became a sitting member of the Senate Council because of Adam. And there was nothing God could do about it. And God started a work of redemption. Listen to me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no what. And when I come in the second service, you will hear bloody things. So just look for a seat that is comfortable. Because I'm going to talk about covenants, I'm going to talk about blood, and I'm going to explain certain things about why the name of Jesus works today. It's because of the blood. And your revelation on that name, that name is like a back-end program that has been coded. So every time you come into fellowship with believers, blood flows. Every time you are in a Christian community, and you worship God together, blood is flowing. Whether you know it or not. Now, popular example that I always give. Have you ever committed a sin and you prayed and you still felt very bad? Then you came to church, bring it down. And after the service, you felt better. That is the ministry of God. He said, when we dwell in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, what? Cleanses us from what? All unrighteousness. That happens in Christian fellowship. But you see, when you came to church and you sang, I have a father, you didn't know blood was flowing. That means we are in the garden of blood. Hallelujah. Every time we gather, there's blood in amongst us. Oh, hallelujah. That means you have divine security. You are untouchable because you are in the midst of blood. You don't need to plead it. Oh my God. You are in the midst of blood 24 hours. Every time we plead it, it is only to reiterate what we already know. You can't leave this meeting as one devil come and press you at night again.
Yes, sir.
Do you know who you are?
Yes, sir.
Do you know who you are? He said he has made him a little lower than the Elohims.
Yeah.
He has crowned him with what? Glory and honor. That's who you are. God never to any time said to any of his sons, sit at my right hand. But he said that to his son. And he said to you, he said, come boldly before the... He said, when you come, come like a son. Come like a son. You are a son. You are a daughter. Come knowing your status. Come knowing your status. All this inferiority complex. All this shame of the past. Oh, I committed this sin before. Listen to me. Come like a son. You are not a servant. When that prodigal boy came back home, he said, I will go as a son. The father hugged him and said, you are my son. Nothing is going to change that. It is very hard for a Christian to backslide. You don't understand. It's very hard. Except you didn't receive Christ. Do you know what was used to purchase you? Do you know the value? Then somebody says, oh, that you can just, you don't understand. Except it's not the Jesus that we are talking about. When he hung on that cross, he hung there long enough to be sure you'll be saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. No man can take the glory over God's work in your life. Because it was paid for in blood. It was paid for in blood. Listen to me, you are a child of blood. Let me tell you something. The days, many years ago, when I started reading Colossians, I started reading Hebrews, and I realized that, come on, my case has been settled. My case has been settled. When the Israelites were being stung by snakes and serpents, God erected a pole signifying Christ and said, as many as can look at this serpent, they will live. Even if you had the last breath in you, if one of your eyes can look at him, you'll be saved. And in my ancient days, my ancient churches of those days, we had one song we used to sing. This one, I don't know how they sing it in your language. But they will say, whoa, kiyoye, whoa, Jesu, takomogi fuwa. When you see, you cannot even know down. You call it part your new school. That song simply means, look at Jesus and live. Look at the Jesus that has been crucified for you. That as long as you can, your eyes, I'm talking about your spiritual eyes, as long as you can shut your eyes and you can still see him in your heart, you are good to go.
Hallelujah.
You are good to go.
Hallelujah.
You are good to go. I remember when I struggled, Papa Disha said, I can still see the Holy Spirit in you. You see, it's not about how you feel. Some of you are trying to determine your Christian status by how you feel. God, the Bible says, even if our hearts fail us, he said God is greater than our hearts. If God asks you, depend on how you feel to relate with you. What do you think that kind of God will be? You need to come, not just because it's Easter, you need to come into the full acknowledgement of the divine provision. Jesus will not die again. He has died. He has died. There is no other sacrifice. Have you ever thought about why Satan was on his case? So that he would sleep. So that Jesus would sleep and make a mistake. So that his blood will become contaminated. And he will no longer be worthy to be our merciful high priest. Do you think it was about eating bread in that desert? It's not about the bread. Do you think it's about bowing down? I mean, just bow down there. Nobody would have known. But Jesus knew that Satan is the father of lies.
Yeah.
Whatever he promises you is already failed on delivery.
Yes.
The average challenge we have is a knowledge challenge. The average believer either does not know or either does not believe. That's the problem. Because we behold our situation till it becomes formed in our minds. So now God has to do an extra work by bringing revelation, bringing the word of God, ministering to us, for us to see that there is no weapon on earth that is fashioned by man or spirit that can prevail over you. It takes revelation to see that. It takes revelation to see that no weapon formed against you can prosper, because all things are yours. All things are yours, including the weapons that were formed against you. They are yours. They are yours. It takes a level of revelation to see it. You can't see it in your mind. You have to see it in your spirit, because it's not about you. It's about the one who died. The Bible says we are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And we are now part of the household of God. Hallelujah. So when we come together, we don't come as visitors. So there's no divine visitation. It's divine habitation. Hallelujah. We are not visiting. This is our Father's house. Hallelujah. And you have a seat here. You have a seat at the table. Hallelujah. One woman asked Jesus, he said, I would like one of my sons to sit on this side. It's because she's having knowledge gap. She loves miracle service, but she doesn't understand how God thinks. It's not about where you sit. It's the fact that you are even part of God's household. Hallelujah. And I'm so happy that God did not need to discuss with anybody before telling me I'm his son. God didn't need to get approval. Aren't you glad that God didn't need your boss in the office to agree with him? Should we put her name as one of the children of God? You know, God didn't do that. They might do that for your promotion in the office. But listen to me, as far as your future is concerned, you can sleep knowing that he that keepeth Israel. And that's why we can enter the road and travel for 15 hours, because we know the legs that step into the bus will also come down. That's how we know. It's not because we are reckless. It's because we know. He said, we know. There's this thing we call we know. We know that all things, we always work together for the good of them who love God. Who are those who love God? Those who are his children. Hallelujah. But let me also announce to you that there are many today who are the enemies of the cross. There are many today who are the enemies of Christ. They are in churches. They are in government. There are people here on the TV shows you like to watch. They are out there in the media world trying to get you. They know they can't touch you. They are going for your children. They are showing them all kind of videos and all kind of cartoons and trying to disciple them and plummet their heart to become softened towards the things of this world. There are enemies of the cross out there. They are not going out there saying we are enemies of the cross. But when you look at their activities, you can tell. You can tell. They didn't succeed in the days of Moses. They didn't succeed in the days of Noah. They didn't succeed in the days of Elijah. They didn't succeed in the days of Jesus. They didn't succeed in the days of Paul. They will not succeed now. Amen. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14. Let's wind up quick. One of the things that Jesus did by dying was he took away sickness. He took away sin. He took away sickness. He took away curses. He took away death. And he took away poverty. Hallelujah. I hope you know that the sin of Adam brought poverty, brought sickness, brought premature death. So when you see Adam in heaven, feel free to give him a punch or two for putting you through all these problems. Some of you, last year you struggled with your health. You were so sick. You had so many issues. It's Adam. It's Adam and his wife. Please, ask for 5 minutes in heaven to express your anger. Just look for Adam. And if you don't feel any love in your heart, forgiving him, you may do as you wish. The only problem is that they don't fight in heaven. The only person that fought in heaven was thrown out and he became Satan. So, think and wait. Amen. Give me that scripture. All right. Now, this is one of the reasons why people struggle with curses. When some of you say, oh, Pastor, I don't know what is wrong with my life. I don't know what's wrong with my family. It's like I'm under a curse. Look at what that scripture says. It said there are things that are called ordinances. What is an ordinance? Huh? Lawyer. What's an ordinance? Laws. There are laws. Do you know what it means for something to be a law? That means that thing is in effect. Huh? It's not wishful thinking. There are laws that are in bloodlines. There are laws in families where once you hit a particular age, people will start dying. There are laws. And that's why most of you don't know how this thing works, because you think the way you bind devils is the way you bind principalities. Principality is not on the same level with demons. Huh? Principality, princes. Huh? They have rule over domains. Huh? You may be anointed, but if you come into their domain, you better be ready. They held an archangel Gabriel to a standstill when he was coming to see Daniel. They are not small fries. And the Bible tells us, Paul teaches us, he said, our warfare is with what? Principalities and powers over rulers of darkness and what? Spiritual. You see the word spiritual and wickedness together? Spiritual wickedness in what? So there are places in the realm of spirit that are referred to as what? So when you say, oh, Pastor, I prayed. I'm still struggling. People are still dying in my family. And some people go about, and when we come second service, I will show you. People still go about saying, it's not true. It just happened. But it doesn't matter. Look at the three people who have died. Is there a pattern? Is there a pattern? First person, 44. Second person, 43. 46. What is it about that range? Why are people dying at that number? Yes, they went to heaven. But every battle you face, you fail to win, your children will fight it. So your desire to live long should not be just because you want to hit the age of 70. No. It's so that you can stop the curse and start the blessing. And everything has been made available because Jesus died and rose. The idea of deliverance is not to shout fire, fire. It is to tell the world and Satan that, look, my Lord, my Savior has made me free. So we are not just fighting to be free. It is a fight of faith. The problem is many people prayed and asked for freedom, but they didn't understand the concept of fighting in faith. So you are supposed to stand in faith. The Bible said, having done all things to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. There's a posture you must have that if the devil looks at you, he's not sure if you think you are still in bondage. Because your posture now says, I know I'm free. I know I'm free. I know I'm free. If they ask you any question, the curse is broken. And it's not because of your prayer. It's because of what Jesus said. A lot of us are trying too hard. But by the arm of flesh shall no man prevail. You need to understand how spiritual warfare. Give me that scripture. It says this ordinance. It says he blotted out the ordinance. That means there were things that were written against us. When they open your file in the realm of the spirit, you will see things. Premature death. You will see curses. You will see family pattern. You will see failed child delivery. You will see all kind of strange and terrible things. Pain and shame. And when Jesus died, he went to hell and used his blood. What can wash away my sin? He took his time. He took his time. There's nothing the devil can do. Everybody watched it. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh. He washed us clean in his own blood. In his own blood. Blotting out every ordinance, every pattern, every shame. You have no shame. There's no shame. I know he did an abortion, but you have no shame. It's gone. Jesus didn't ask Michael to do it. He didn't ask Gabriel to do it. He rose up to effect his own law. He replaced a law with another law. This one is the law of sin and death. This one is the law of life in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So when you walk away from a curse, you must walk into another law.
Hallelujah.
The reason why the curse cannot leave many people is that they pray, they fasted, but they continue in sin. Sin is the strongest weapon Satan has over any man. The practice of sin. He said he blotted out the ordinance that was against us, which was what?
Contrary.
That means it's like having a ship on the high seas and you are trying to go against the wind. What happens to that ship? It capsizes. The water begins to come into the ship. The Bible said these laws were against us. Anywhere your matter was presented, they will say, no, she's not qualified. Rejected by God, not received by man. But when Jesus came, say, who can lay a charge on God's elect? It is the Lord that justifies. And he said, just as he spoke to Zechariah, say, give him a change of garments. And they changed his garment. Zechariah was a priest, but he was filthy. They changed his garment and gave him white. Do you know when you get to heaven, you are going to know another level of God's righteousness? You will stand before him in true righteousness. You will stand before him and you will hold palm fronds the way those saints in heaven are holding their palm fronds and worshiping God. You will stand before him and you will look at yourself and you will know it was not your righteousness, but this is the righteousness that comes by the blood, that no man will get to heaven and say, oh, it was because I was holy. When you get before him, you will know your righteousness was as a filthy rag. That this one you are seeing is only because Jesus changed your clothes and removed the ordinances that were against you. Give me that scripture. That were contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. He took it. This thing will not let you move forward. He took that thing out of the way and took his hammer. Every time they hit his body, every time they stabbed him, it was Jesus in the realm of the spirit with your name upon his hand, nailing every ordinance to the cross. And when he said it is finished, it was not because he wanted to die. It's because the bill has been paid. Hallelujah. The bill has been paid. Nobody can lay a charge against God's elect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The bill has been paid. The bill has been paid. And you can walk out of this place knowing that no matter what any man says to you, that is not God's verdict. There are people that are not battling with sin, but every time they look into the mirror, they see a failure. They see a man that may never probably make it in this life. They see everything wrong with their family, with their DNA, with their decisions, everything they've made, everything, problems, marital, child, just name it. They see, they can't really think of the last time they were genuinely happy. But Jesus says, whose report will you believe? I was the one who died. When Jesus rose up, the first person he went to look for was Peter. But the first person that saw him was a forgiving prostitute. You don't know how magnanimous our God's love is. You don't know how magnanimous, do you know what it means to consciously live as a prostitute and yet be the first to see Jesus? Even Peter, in all of his faith, ran away. Listen, to walk in the full weight of your deliverance, your heart must be given to God in love. That woman was only able to stand there knowing that the soldiers could have come and they could have hurt her. They could have killed her, they could have arrested her. but she was willing to wait. And she cried so much, she didn't even know she was talking to Jesus. She cried so much until Jesus called her name and said, Mary. Ah, the only one person calls me this way. Only one person will look at me with my shame and still call me this way. Only one man will look at me and say, I have called you even and I've chosen you even before you were born and I've not changed my mind. Only one person will look at you this way. And Jesus called her. And she was the first apostle that Jesus sent. He said, go and tell my brothers that I have risen. And I have risen. Peter came back there. Some doors only open for 5 minutes. That woman could not touch Jesus. As Jesus rose, she could not touch him. She wanted to. It made a lot of sense too. If I was the one, and if that woman was Nigerian, if she would have touched him before the man even said, don't touch me. Because we are very aggressive. Why did Jesus say, don't touch me? Yet, when he came back and he saw Thomas, he said to Thomas, touch me. Because coming straight out of the grave, he was coming with the blood. That is the token. That is what he will present to heaven. This is why we died. This is the blood that will cleanse 7 billion people on earth. This is the blood with which we will pay for. We have paid for every sin. And we have corrected the error of the first Adam. So don't touch me. Because you are flesh, I'm spirit. In that moment, Jesus went to heaven, presented the blood. And the Bible says, with that blood, the heavens were purified. Heaven is a holy place. But with that blood, the blood made heaven look like, it's like we need to clean this place up. We need to touch up this paint. The blood was used to purify heaven, the heavens, in the book of Hebrews. And then he came back. And then he said to the disciples, all power. The power to forgive.
Hallelujah.
The power to cast out devils. Hallelujah. The power to say to the leper, be cleansed. Yeah. The power to go into the depth of the earth and rout the activities of Satan. He said, all power has now been given to me.
Hallelujah.
He didn't say that when he rose up. It was when he went and got the name that is above every other name that he came and said, go now and make disciples for me in every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And then he added his own, the Son and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe all things such as I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you. Oh, Jesus didn't leave us. He didn't leave us. Don't pray and say, God, open the heavens and come, that he is here. Before you say that line of sentence, he's already here. He lives in your heart. Not just as a principle, but in spirit and in truth. In reality, Jesus lives in your house. When you know that, you can't commit sin.
Yes, sir.
When that guy tells you, lock the door. He said, there's somebody else already in the house. What do we do about it? This consciousness that you are a walking temple, a bearer of the image of God, is the whole idea of Easter. That God came to earth and he filled his creation once again with his image and his glory. You're a carrier of glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're a carrier of glory.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, you have the Shekinah glory on your inside.
Hallelujah.
And you are not ordinary.
Hallelujah.
That woman saw Jesus and she went back to Peter and she told Peter, I have seen the Lord. Peter came, he meant an empty tomb. But there was a sign that was given to Peter. In that tomb, the scarf that was used to wrap the heads of Jesus was folded neatly. But the robe or the clothes that were used to wrap his body was scattered, signifying that as the head of the body, His own task is now done. The remaining task is the body of Christ. Everything he's doing now is to get the body ready to be able to align with the head. And that is why there's warfare.
Yes, sir.
That is why there is teaching. That's why there are prayers. That's why there are intercessions. Because there are these adjustments that cannot be made in pleasure. Hallelujah. And that's why sometimes God allows you to make certain sacrifices. Because in the realm of the spirit, if you are not a sacrificial person, you'll be weak. Yes. The reason why Jesus is the way he is because of his sacrifice. Listen. Let this moment of Easter begin to mean something to you. That this was the day God's effort over your life was realized. And that because of what Jesus has done, you cannot have a painful ending. Because God is committed to you. He knew your name even before you were born. And he made plans and provisions for you. And that in the blood of Jesus, everything has been made ready. Jesus said, go and call them. Tell them all things have been made ready. Everything has been made ready. All you have to do is accept it. And how do you accept it? By faith. Hallelujah. When we started this exhortation, I started from 1 Corinthians 1:17, where Paul said he was not sent to baptize but to preach the gospel. And I want to share with you today that the demand that has been placed upon us is the demand to preach the gospel. To let people know that Jesus is alive. It's not a time for sober reflection. It's a time to shout it on the rooftops that Jesus is alive. It's a time for us to know that as he walked on the earth, we also can walk on the earth. It's a time to know that we can no longer be silent. We will sing the Lord's song in this land. We can no longer be quiet. Because now we have Antichrist amongst us. We have people who look like Christ but don't represent him. We have wolves trying to shred the body and fragment it. So if there's any time to be loud, it is now. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. And let's round off here. When we come back for the second service, we'll go into Hebrews and we'll touch on a few things. And he said to them, be not affrighted, for you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is not here. What is the living doing among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. He said, behold the place where they laid him. Verse 7. But go your way. Tell his disciples. And who?
Peter.
And Peter. You see, Peter's case is important. Because Peter swore on Rumila that he would not deny his Lord. He swore. Peter was the only one in his 3 years of ministry who challenged Jesus. After prophesying in a prophetic meeting, Lemagapa Shataya, for thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise Shataya. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy. And Jesus said, this utterance is from my Father. And Jesus now prophesied to him. Say, for thou art what? Simon. But now I say to you, you are Peter. You are the rock. And upon this rock, hallelujah, I will build my, upon this life, this destiny, this revelation, I will set the pace for the church to begin its journey. The next thing my brother did, he should have left it there and gone to sit down. Just be quiet. Enjoy the moment. Jesus now said, still in the spirit of prophecy, for the Son of Man shall be crucified. and he will die. And then he will rise on the third day. The Bible says Peter took Jesus. You know what it means to took something? He grabbed him. Oh God, you cannot die. Maybe you have forgotten. I sold my sheep to follow you. I left my wife to follow you. You want to die? What do you mean? You did not tell us this part when you told us to follow you. See, and he took Jesus. You know, like, this guy just hit cover. Prophecy does not mean you are spiritually mature, though. He took Jesus. He took the man of God. Jesus had to call him Satan. Ah! The same meeting where they prophesied, they still recognize Satan. Say, oh, Satan! For thou does not serve all the things of. He started prophesying again because this man can summer slam him. So I hope you know Peter was older than Jesus.
Yeah.
So we are at that junction where Peter can tell him, I know you are called, but you know, as per age, there are some things I can advise you. Don't be saying things like this. It's demoralizing those of us that are following you. You know, everything, there's maturity. Satan! It is God's will for me to die. He shouted him down. That would have been Peter's opportunity to go on his knees and say, help my own. Peter did not. The day he was going to be crucified, Jesus called and said, you are going to deny me. He came again. Ali Makoria Messiah. It's like you don't, you see, sir, sometimes I feel bad, though. The way you normally talk to me, it's like, I follow you. I don't know about these people. Me, I follow you. I feel very hot when you say things like this. N-O-S-H-A. It's not mouth. It's not mouth. If wishes were horses. The guy was vibing. The way some people promise, say, Pastor, I will never leave, I will die with you. Yeah. But what's my own? Even my own Lord was denied. Jesus said, Peter, you will deny me. Not even once. Three times. Before the cock will crow, you will deny me. Peter was offended. That would have been Peter's opportunity to go on his knees and ask for mercy and help. The difference between Peter and Judah is not, there's no difference.
Yeah.
The only difference is that Jesus prayed for one.
Yeah.
So it's still a good prayer point for you to say, Jesus, pray for me. I know you are very anointed and you are very holy, but sometimes it's okay to say, Lord Jesus, pray for me. Because where I'm going now, not come back, or pray for me. Peter went and didn't realize he was acting out a negative prophecy. First time, second time, third time, before it occurred to him that this word was already given to you. Listen to me. For all of you New Testament Pentecostal people, hear me now. All of that are reading prophecy books up and down. Say, in the New Testament, prophecy should confirm. Have you not heard it before?
Yeah.
That every Christian has the Spirit of God. Have you?
Yeah.
And that when somebody else gives you a prophecy, it should confirm what God has told you. Okay, I'm here to tell you, it's not every time. Peter did not know.
Yes, sir.
When Peter said he would not deny God, did he mean it? When he said he would not deny Jesus, was he joking?
No.
But did he deny him?
Yes.
What are you talking about? So Jesus was lying. There are people that came into this office and I prophesied to you and they say, Pastor, it's a lie. They took the bus, got to Sule, come and say, Pastor, it has happened. You are in the past, I'm in the future. The guy meant it, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
That's why when Jesus said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Peter understands. Because Peter swore, Orumila, that he would not deny Jesus. But his voice was very loud. Say, Satan has desired to sift you, to take you and sift you like wheat, make you nothing. rubbish the work of God in your life. Satan has desire to take you. Say, this one is not worthy. He cannot serve you. So Jesus, I pray. Jesus did not say, Jesus said, I prayed. Mm-hmm. Most likely, he prayed for like minimum of 3 hours.
Yes, ma'am.
You cannot take him. Shadalaba, shakada. Agonizing prayer. That's how Jesus prayed. The Bible says he prays with tears.
Yes.
When Jesus prays, that's why he doesn't pray where there are people.
Mm-hmm.
Because his prayer is intense.
Mm-hmm.
You would think someone died.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed for Peter. Peter himself didn't even know there was need to pray. And when he rose up, he said, go get Peter for me. But Peter, the temptation was not, the prophecy and the temptation was not, and the prayer was not necessarily to prevent Peter from denying God or denying his master.
Yeah, yeah.
It was to make provision for his restoration. Because despite the prophecy, Peter still failed. But now, when Jesus came and he went to the waters, do you know Peter could no longer recognize him?
Yeah.
It was John. Who said that is the master, the one whose heart is still filled with love, that was able to see him. But the one, every time you draw away from the Lord, your ability to discern and sense him becomes very, you know, tiny, and it begins to reduce, continues to reduce. Peter could no longer, but Peter was the one who prophesied in that meeting when Jesus talked about his death, and hey, come alamo shotai alaba, you are the Son of God, hallelujah. John did not see anything. There are some quiet people in our midst that are closer to God. It was John who said, that is the master. The moment Peter heard, that is him, he left the fish. Huh? I hope you know that night they labored all night and they didn't catch anything. There is a spiritual provision for prosperity. If you are working with God, don't just be a prayer warrior. Let God tell you how to be rich. And when I come after Easter, we will go into the four rivers that flowed into the Garden of Eden. But that will be very soon. Listen, Jesus said to them from where he stood, cast your net to the right side. That means they were on the wrong side.
Yes, sir.
Cast your net. Put your effort to the right side. Everybody knows that the fishes don't come out in the daytime. It's easy to get them over in the night. But now in broad daylight, Jesus gave an instruction and said, cast your net to the right side.
Yes,
and God broke the law of physics,
yes,
broke the law of nature, and gathered the fishes. By there telling Peter, if I do not want you to be hungry for the rest of your life, I can make it happen. And you will not need to follow the law of economics.
Yeah.
By the time Peter got to the shore, he saw fish again.
Yes,
Jesus had conjured up fish. The fish was dying to get overnight. The Lord had made provision for it, because in the kingdom we receive everything on the strength of our relationship with God and our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not any as a wine. There are young boys on Facebook now and on Instagram and TikTok who are serving water spirit. Some of you must have seen them. They advertise water spirit and they tell you to come and don't waste your time going to church. And tell you that this is the reason why your problems are not solved. And they tell you to take cowries. And they tell you to take salt. And they tell you to go to the river. These boys are young boys. They are witch doctors. They come out in the open. Listen to me, the days of witchcraft are here. Open witchcraft. That's why we must not be silent. I said we must not be silent. We must take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we must tell everybody that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to declare, I will not be silent. In the name of Jesus, I will take the gospel to the ends of the world. In the name of Jesus. I need to thank God in 1 minute and give him glory. I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more, until I am like you. I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face.
I want to know you more until I am like you. I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more until I am like you.
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 Open my eyes to see your face. Open my eyes to know you more.
I will be there, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know. Until I am like you, I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more.
Until I am like you.
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 Say until I am like you.
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 Aha.
Give him glory and blessing. Hallelujah. We have received a new anointing. We have received a new anointing by reason of his death and his resurrection. We have been called into the beloved. Hallelujah. And we are grateful. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Today, when you leave this place, you should go home and eat whatever you like. Because it has serious implications. This is not the day for you to say you don't want to eat. Because they didn't think he would rise. They planned for him not to rise. They planned for him, if in any way he tries to rise, he should suffocate and die. Because they put a big stone that one man cannot push. But there was an angel that visited. His father sent an angel. You see, God kept the best for the last. He didn't tell anybody how we will remove that stone. But he sent an angel. And the angel, one angel, rolled away the stone. Do you know angels are sent to minister to you? Do you know the angels are sent to minister to you? They are your messengers. They are sent. They are apportioned to you. It is not your cry. They live with you. You are not alone in that house. Hallelujah. That is why I know you are anointed. Hallelujah. I want you to declare I'm anointed. Praise the Lord.